Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village and was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voice saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw Jesus, that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he came and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then Jesus said unto him, "Rise and go your way, for your faith has made you whole." So you have to picture this. Jesus, again, just walking, living a normal life. You know, a traveling minister like me. But they didn't have airplanes, they didn't have cars, so he would walk. So he's walking. And you know, these lepers, 10 of them, saw him and they recognized him from the stories. And they saw him, so they had a little bit of faith. And they cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And then what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He gave them an instruction. He told them what to do. He said, "Hey, go show yourself to the priest. And if you do that, you're going to be healed." So then, you know, they left. They showed themselves to the priest. And boom, like Jesus said, they got healed. But the Bible records something very, very key when it comes to miracles and receiving from God. And I want to read that one more time. So only one of them saw that he was healed and turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And then he came and he fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were there not 10 who were healed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way, for your faith has made you whole." You see, 9 lepers got healed that day. Only one was made whole. See, there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. You know, you might have an ear problem, an eye problem, a back problem. You know, God can heal your back. But if your eyes and ears are still, you know, not perfectly well, not healed, then you're not whole. You still need healing. So here's the reality. 10 lepers got healed. But only one returned to Jesus to give him thanks, to give him praise, and to give him worship. And what happened when that one single leper came back to honor Jesus, to worship Jesus, to thank Jesus? What happened? Jesus made him whole. See, that's why when I pray for the sick, and you know, in a lot of churches, when you have like too many people to pray for them one-on-one, you just, you know, you do a big prayer. And then you collect testimonies. But here's the thing, and I don't know why, but when people get healed, when God does something in their lives, and you say, "Hey, come forward and share what the Lord has done," people don't understand. You know, they don't put their hands up. They stay seated. They stay quiet. And then they wonder why, you know, nothing is ever working out. They wonder why, you know, if God healed only my back, God healed only my eyes, God only healed my ears, why is my finances broken? Why is my marriage still falling apart? Why are my kids being so crazy? But they don't understand the importance and the power of thanksgiving and praise. You see, Jesus was walking the earth. He was a real person, in the flesh, real, like you and I. But even when he was here in a physical body, you know, a lot of people wish that Jesus would come in a physical body. But he, you know, he said it's to our advantage that he would go away, and that's a whole different message. But you know, he at one point in history walked the earth like a normal man. But even when he was on the earth, and see, that's why I don't take it personal. That's why I can't get upset. That's why I can't get mad at people in my meetings. Because Jesus himself, when he would heal the sick, when he would perform miracles, Not everyone would come back and say, hey, this is what happened. Hey, here's my testimony. Hey, here's what God did in my life. A lot of people, you know, even now and even in his day, they'll stay quiet. They'll keep their mouth shut. But the Bible declares that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our own life unto death. But you know, if you're too afraid and you're too insecure to even, you know, get up and give God honor for a miracle, for a blessing, for a healing, well, you no wonder you're not overcoming. Because your testimony is not being heard, and I shared it last night. Your testimony isn't just for you. It's not only for you to kind of solidify your miracle and, you know, take a hold of that thing that God's doing in your life. But your testimony is to unlock a miracle in someone else's life. I like what a minister says. And I like the phrase. He says, whenever you testify, really what you're doing is you're saying, do it again, Lord. You're testifying. You're saying, do it again, Lord. If God did it for me, He'll do it for you. If God did it for Pastor, He'll do it for you. What God does for one, He'll do for all, because God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. A lot of people think, you know, that like when you talk to atheists, whether you're on a plane or wherever, they'll ask you, well, if God's a good God, why is there hunger? If God's a good God, why is there famine? Why is there war? And they think God is moved by need. But if God was moved by need, there wouldn't be any needs. We'd all be healed. We'd all, you know, be blessed. We'd all have everything taken care of. And so many people come to God with their needs, and they're expecting Him to move and do something for them, not realizing that God isn't a respecter of needs. He only respects one thing, and that's faith. See, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. You're just. You're a child of God. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You're a son and a daughter of the King. But we are to walk by faith, and faith is what pleases God. And the highest form of faith, in my opinion, is thanksgiving and praise. The highest form of faith is thanksgiving and praise. So what happened? Excuse me. 10 lepers came, and they had a need. Nothing wrong with having a need. That's where you start for a miracle. They came with their need and they saw, man, this Jesus can do something about it. So they had faith. And they cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Faith. That was faith. And Jesus healed them. He told them what to do. Hey, go show yourself to the high priest and you'll be healed. And they went. They obeyed the word of God. And they were healed. But only one, like I said, came back. And had great faith. How do I know he had great faith? Because he came back to praise, thank, and worship Jesus for what he had done. See, the Bible says that faith counts things done even when there's no evidence of it in the natural. There's no evidence that Jesus healed you. There's no evidence in the natural that by His stripes you are healed. There's no evidence in the natural that, you know, when you give, it shall be given. There's no evidence in the natural that if you confess, you're born again. There's no evidence that heaven itself is real. But faith counts it real. Faith counts it done. Faith knows that at your word, I'm healed. At your word, I'm blessed. At your word, I'm saved. And faith operates on the Word of God. That's why when you come to a meeting and when you come to church, it's not just about, you know, getting prayed for, but really it's about the Word coming into your heart. And the Word, the seed of the Word, like Pastor talked about on Sunday, the seed of God's Word coming into your heart and beginning to get planted in your heart. And as it plants in your heart, it begins to grow into something beautiful. See, everything in the kingdom starts with a seed. You got saved by the seed of the Word. You got saved because you heard the seed of the gospel. And then when you got saved, you know, eternal life comes into you as a seed. And then as you walk with Jesus, it grows. Faith came into your heart as a seed. And as you watered it and you nurtured it, that faith began to grow. See, people have to understand this. Only one leper came back and gave glory to God. And only one was made whole. See, I'll be here for a few days and then I'm gone. And, you know, I would love to come back, but who knows what's going to happen. It's all up to Jesus. But here's the reality. I don't want you to ever go into a meeting, ever go into a service to where God does something for you. God does something for you even, you know, during the week. And you're given an opportunity to testify. You're given an opportunity to share. I never want you to pass that opportunity up. Because that opportunity is what makes the difference between, you know, just being healed and being made whole. The Bible says that we enter His courts with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is everything. Thanksgiving is faith. Praise and thanksgiving is the highest form of faith. Because if you're thankful, even though you have no reason in the natural to think it's done, to believe it, you have nothing in the natural that says that you're healed or you're whole or your kids are saved or your grandkids are saved or, you know, your finances are going to start increasing. There's no evidence except faith. And the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things unseen. Faith is real. And when you begin to thank God, when you begin to praise God, that faith begins to grow. And those things that you're believing God for go from just being, you know, in the spirit, and you start taking them and bringing them into the natural. That's why, you know, when you watch a lot of these healing ministers, as they begin to flow and as they begin to feel that healing anointing come, they'll oftentimes, you know, they have like a little band and stuff. And they'll lift their hands and they'll begin to worship and they'll begin to praise. And then, you know, they'll start praying and speaking, and people start getting healed by, you know, the mass. But they understand, you know, when I open my mouth to worship, when I open my mouth to praise, when I open my mouth and give thanks, God comes on the scene. And when God comes on the scene, miracles come on the scene. So always, always, always remember, no matter what, come back and give praise for your miracles. And also, equally, always remember to even give glory to God for someone else's miracle. You see, when you start clapping for someone else's breakthrough, your breakthrough, you know, starts to come. See, when you celebrate somebody else's victory, your victory is on the way. Because, you know, we're brothers, we're sisters, we're a body. If you're winning, I'm winning. If this church is growing, the kingdom is growing, I'm happy. If this church is suffering, if the kingdom is suffering, if I'm suffering, we're all suffering. So you always have to remember, give glory to Jesus for your miracle, but always also celebrate with your brothers and sisters when they have a miracle. It might be small in your eyes, but to them it could be huge. So always, always celebrate with people. So now let's turn to Romans 8, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And then we'll be wrapping up shortly. Romans 8:11. I'm telling you, if you need God to do something in your life tonight, He's going to do it. God is in a giving mood tonight. He always is. He loves to give. The Bible says that for God so loved that He gave. Hallelujah. The Bible also says that if God didn't withhold His Son, but He gave Him to us freely, will He not with Jesus give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? God is a giver. God is in a giving mood tonight. So Romans 8:11. And if you catch hold of this, things are going to change in your life. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit that dwells in you. I don't like that version. But Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us, that Spirit will quicken and make alive your mortal bodies. What on earth does that mean? Last night I talked about learning how to yield to the Holy Spirit. I was talking and teaching about surrendering to the Holy Spirit and making room for the Holy Spirit to come and move in your life. And I also hit on the fact that the Holy Spirit now lives in you if you're a child of God. The Bible declares we are, me and you, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's not living in Jerusalem anymore. He's not, you know, on the Temple Mount. You can go there. There's no temple. He's not living up in heaven. You have to understand, he lives in heaven. But really, he lives in us as well. He's everywhere at once. But really, he lives in us. Paul said it in Colossians 1:27. The mystery of this entire Christianity thing can be summed up in one phrase. Christ lives in you. God came to live in you. So in Romans 8:11, we read that if God really came to live in you, if the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that went into Jesus' dead body in that tomb and made his body come alive, if that same Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, what happened to Jesus' dead body will happen to your body. It'll come alive, it'll be strengthened, it'll be energized by the Holy Spirit. See, that should have you at least clapping or smiling or shouting. God lives in you. I don't know how else to say it. God is in you. He's not floating up in heaven. He's not up in heaven waiting for you to you know, die and then go meet him. No, God lives in you right here, right now. You carry the glory of God. And even as I'm saying that, I feel the Holy Spirit all over me. It's called the anointing. It's called the life of God. It's called Christ in you. God lives in us. And that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and is willing and available tonight to heal your body of whatever it is you might have. You don't have to have hands laid on you. You don't have to even have a prayer. It's just like, you know, a lot of Christians are so weird and spooky and spiritual. When I was at that weird, you know, vomit church, we call it the bucket church. But, you know, they're so used to fighting the devil and praying against darkness. And when I got up, one of the analogies I gave was this, and I'll give it here tonight. See, a lot of Christians will walk into a dark room. Imagine in here if we turn off all the lights. They'll walk in here and it's dark and, you know, you can't see where you're going. And they'll begin praying. They'll begin fasting. You know, they might make a little prayer chain. They're calling their, you know, intercessors, and they're all praying because the room is so dark. And then you'll have one Christian with a brain that says, okay, the room's dark. Let me walk up to the light switch. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast. I don't need to seek God. All I have to do for the darkness to go, I'm just going to turn on the light. Boom. And then, you know, you have all the weird Christians that are going to, like, freak out and cry and go crazy because, you know, the lights are on. There's no more darkness. And that's how we act with the Holy Spirit. That's how we act with the supernatural. It's as simple as turning on the lights. It's really that simple. Healing is as simple as turning on the lights. If the Bible is true, and I'm telling you, it is. If God really does live in you, if that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead really does live in you, you don't have to coax him. You don't have to manipulate him. You don't have to try to convince him. The only thing required for darkness to leave is light to come on. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being light. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being life. In my phone, I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of great men of God who have seen tremendous miracles. One of the men of God, his son was with me in Bible school. His name is Charles. And I knew that Charles had seen, you know, quite a few people raised from the dead. But I hadn't, you know, asked him, hey, how many people have you seen raised from the dead? Because, I don't know, it's like an awkward question. I don't know. I should have because, you know, it would have helped my faith be built up. But his son came over to our house for Thanksgiving. So, I'm talking with his son. We're chit-chatting. And I ask him, I'm like, hey, so like your dad, I think what, he's seen something like 12, 13 people raised from the dead, right? And his son starts laughing at me and he says, no, Nick, He's like, back in like 2012, when I was traveling with him, I think he was already at like something like 27 people raised from the dead in his ministry. In fact, he was doing a mass crusade in Mexico City, Mexico. And you know, in North America, if you advertise miracles, you'll get a few people. If you advertise signs and wonders, you'll get a few people. And that's great. But if you go to like Pakistan, if you go to like South America, if you advertise miracles, man, people come. And on the billboard, they said, Miracle Nights. I think it was called Jesus Miracle Crusades. And it said, bring the sick, bring the maimed, and bring the dead. So, in typical third world, you know, I don't know, customs, they actually believed what the sign said, and they brought dead people. So that hadn't happened. His crusade director was kind of freaking out. He's like, dude, what do I do with all these dead people? This is weird. I'm not just going to leave them out on the field. They smell. It's rotten. So they took the dead people and they hid them under the stage. And Charles had no idea. You know, he was in his hotel room praying, getting ready, worshiping. So no one told him, hey, we put dead bodies under the platform. Because if someone told me that, I'd be freaking out. So, you know, he gets the mic and he begins preaching, funny enough, on Romans 8:11, that the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, is here tonight on this field. And he's going on and on. And under that platform, all at once, five dead people, in the same moment, five dead people come back to life, crawl out from under the platform. And, you know, people are going nuts, and Charles is like, what is happening? Why is there people crawling out from under the platform? And then, you know, you get the testimonies, and yeah, five people all at once, just in a moment, boom, raised from the dead, came back to life, and were testifying. You know, they have the doctor's reports, they have the family's reports, they have it all on camera. And I've asked him, you know, what's the secret to seeing the dead being raised? And like I was saying, of how simple it is, just turn on the lights. All he told me when I said, how do you raise the dead? He said, if you have life in you, what does a dead person need? They need life. So just pray, put your hands on them, and you have life. Give them that life, and they come back to life. You see, we always want it to be so spooky and so mysterious and so complicated. And we talk ourselves out of faith. We talk ourselves out of the miraculous. We talk ourselves out of our miracle because we want it to be so big and complicated. You know, there's a centurion that came to be healed by Elijah. And you know, he was a great military man. And he came with his entourage because his servant girl had said, hey, there's a man of God that can get you healed. So he came to the house. And he asked, you know, Elijah, hey, what do I have to do to be healed? And Elijah, like Jesus did, simply spoke the word. Hey, go dip yourself in the river and you'll be made whole. And here's what happened. That man got mad because he was a great man. He was a great warrior. He had, you know, led, you know, battles. He had killed many people. He was, like a strong, proud man. And instead of being given something super complicated to do, instead of being given something impossible to do, all he had to do to be healed was, hey, just go dunk in the river and you'll be made whole. And you know, finally his servant girl told him, hey, if the man of God would have said, go do this and go do that, go climb this mountain, go conquer this city, you would have done it. So why not do it if it's such a simple thing? Just take him at his word. And that's the key to miracles, taking God at his word. And, you know, he did it and boom, he was healed. And for many of us, our miracle isn't going to be in something complicated. Our breakthrough isn't going to come in something big, fantastic, and complicated. It's going to come in simply obeying the word of God. See, there's nothing more powerful than this book. There's nothing more spiritual than simply believing this book. Many people want to pray. Many people want to fast. Many people want to cry out. But when you get behind, you know, closed doors with them and you ask them, hey, like, what are you doing from the Word? They can't tell you. Because they don't want to do what the Word says. They want to do what they think they have to do to get healed. They want to, you know, try to get God's attention or try to earn it somehow. That's not how it works. It's by the Word of God. In any area of life, remember this. If you stick with the Word, you can't go wrong. Whatever you need, if you simply pray and speak the Word, you can't go wrong. You'll never get off track if you stick with this book. A lot of people want to do their own thing, and then they get into issues. But tonight, God is in the business, like I said, of giving. See, He wants to give life back to your dead bodies. He wants to give life back to those dead ears, those dead eyes. He wants to give life back to those joints. And then He also wants to give strength to your bodies. A lot of people here, you know, I can tell you guys are tired. It's been, you know, long. When I pray for you know, the believers in Canada, that's the biggest thing that I get in my spirit, is that the people of God in Canada are worn out. A lot of them, you know, in different cities and different provinces had to go, you know, years without gathering as a church. They went years without meetings. They went years without corporate worship. They went years without, you know, miracle meetings because, you know, sadly enough, their church is shut down. Their shepherds kind of, you know, abandoned the post. You know, when COVID hit and everything was shutting down, we were in America and Florida, actually, so we had it really good. But my wife and I were grieved about Canada. We're grieved that all these churches that we had lined up to preach at were all shut down now. None of them were having meetings. I would call them and say, hey, look, like, we want to come and have meetings. We want to come and, you know, heal the sick. We want to come and stir faith. And, you know, pastor after pastor said, no. COVID is dangerous. People are getting sick. People are dying like crazy. We're not doing any meetings. It's too dangerous. So, well, you can either go with the flow or you can go with God. So what we did is we rented a hotel ballroom in Cobourg, Ontario. And for what, three nights or two nights? Three nights. We had meetings in a hotel room. You know, we paid for it ourselves. We got everything. We got the sound. We got, you know, the rental of the room. We advertised on Facebook and people came and, you know, people got healed. People got saved. People got touched. But why did we do that? Because we actually believe the Word. And we actually believe that it's important for people to come and hear the Word of God. We believe it's important for people to come and sit under the anointing. And we believe that Jesus wasn't lying when He said if two or three come together and gather in His name, that He would be there with them. And you know, we had great meetings, small but great meetings. And that's why, you know, a lot of people are tired. A lot of people haven't had, you know, the opportunity to be in great meetings and be in refreshing meetings. So tonight, God can and God wants to, you know, give strength and refresh your tired bodies. So last, and I'm going to close with this. Pastor also talked about the woman with the issue of blood, how she heard and she said within herself. And I want to hit on that real quick and then we're going to pray. Because I learned, you know, if you're doing extended meetings and multiple nights, let people go and get some sleep. There's always tomorrow night. But Mark 5, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Amen. Mark 5, 25. And hopefully I can preach this in a way that you've never heard it, but I want that aha moment to happen for you tonight. So Mark 5, 25. And there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Say 12 years. And she had suffered much under many physicians and spent everything she had and wasn't getting any better, but rather was getting worse. And she had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said within herself, if I can touch His garment, I know I will be healed. And immediately after she touched Him, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving of himself that power had gone out, immediately turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said to him, "Master, you see the crowd, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And then he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Hallelujah. I love that portion of Scripture. I love the Bible. Now I want to show you something. If you read verse 24, it talks about how Jesus was walking, and many people had come to see and hear and see the miracles. Many people had come to see this man they had heard all so much about. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, many people had heard. But you see, that day, only one woman received her miracle. Only one woman was healed. So you have to picture this. Jesus, you know, like I was saying, in a real body, actually walking the earth, you know, bad breath and all. A real person. Not floating on the clouds, not walking with a halo, just a real man. Walking the earth. And he's in a busy market. And there's many people who had heard about him, many people who had heard the testimonies, and many people, the Bible records, that were pressing and trying to get a glimpse of this man named Jesus. Many people. So picture that, a crowded marketplace, many people touching, pushing, grabbing, trying to see, trying to get his attention, trying to speak with him. Many people touching him, but only one person. And I love what my pastor says. He said many people were touching him, but one person touched him differently. See, many people come to church. Many people come and you know, many people will go to prayer lines. Many people will come up for prayer. Many people, you know, will raise their hands in worship. Many people will come. But very few people will do what this woman did. You see, she decided, "I'm not going to be like everybody else that is just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Just trying to see what I can see." And no. When I come into contact with Jesus, the Bible records that she said within herself, and that's faith. She said within herself, "If I can but touch this man named Jesus, I know I'm going to be healed." And like, you know, the Bible says, immediately when she touched him, she was made whole. She was healed. But many people touched him that day. Many people brushed up against him. Many people spoke with him and touched him and, you know, were trying to see him. But only one person in that entire crowd touched him with faith in her heart. Only one person touched him and had said within themselves, "Man, if I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed." Only one. See, many people come to church. And I always talk about the fact that God lives in us. God is with us. When you came here, God came here with you. You can't separate you and God. When you come, God comes. Many people are here in church. Many people are gathering in churches all over America, all over North America, all over the world. And they're coming, and Jesus, the Bible says, He's here with us right now. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is here with us right now. Many people are here. Many people are in churches. But here's the thing, they come and they go and they come and they go and nothing happens in their lives. Yet all the while, they're like the people when Jesus was walking the earth, brushing up against him, moving, touching him, looking at him, maybe even talking with him. But there's no demand, there's no faith, there's no pull on what Jesus carries. And they come and they go the same way. You see, that's why, you know, I refuse to feel bad. Because I used to get so frustrated when people wouldn't get it. But you know, Jesus himself, the Son of God himself, walking on the earth himself, would have it to where he'd be walking. And people would come and they'd want to see a show and they'd want to hear the stories and they'd want to, you know, get the gossip. But very few people, from time to time, would come with something in their heart. You know, if Jesus was here in the flesh, I have a list of things that I'd be like, "Hey, do this, do this, do this. Your word says this, do this. You know, I would have such a demand and put such a pull on what he is and who he is. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is here. Jesus is here. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is here right now. And what are you going to do about that? What pull are you going to put on Jesus? Are you going to be like everybody else in the crowd that day and, you know, come and hear a message and come and hear a sermon and, you know, brush up against Jesus but not get anything from him? Or are you going to be like the woman with the issue of blood? Are you going to say, I'm not leaving here until I get healed. I'm not leaving here the same way I came. I know that if I can touch Jesus and he can touch me, I know I'm going to be healed. See, that faith makes all the difference in the world. God will pass by 1,000 people to get to the one that dares take him at his word. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of need. He's a respecter of faith. And he's a respecter of his word. And when you come to him by faith in his word, miracles begin to happen in anything and every area. When you come and take Jesus at his word, miracles will begin to happen. So tonight, before we pray, if I could get every head bowed and every eye closed. Excuse me. Hallelujah. See, this Jesus I'm talking about is real. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to get to know him. He wants you to come and experience the love and the peace and the joy that can only be found in him. Nowhere else. No one else. Only in Jesus can you find the answers to life's big problems. And tonight he's calling you. He wants to know you. He wants to become the king of your life. See, a lot of people are struggling with a lot of things. A lot of people in their minds, they're depressed. They're suicidal. They hate themselves. They hate life. And they've had hard lives. But tonight, Jesus is calling you into a different life. He said, all of you, he said, come. All of you that are heavy and weary and beaten down by life, come unto me and find rest. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus wants you to come to him tonight. So if you're in this place and Jesus is not your king, you know, you've never made a public confession. You've never made a decision in your life that Jesus, here I am, I give you my life. Come and help me. Come and change me. Come and do something in my life. You've never made that decision. Tonight is your night. So on the count of three, if you're in this place, And Jesus is not your king, you're not saved, but you want to know him, you would love to know him, I want to pray for you. And then number two, if you're in this place and you know you've known Jesus, you've been around church, but life has been hard, bad things have happened, and really, you know, it's like you got knocked off your feet. You used to be going well with Jesus, but you know, for a while now, it's been weird between you and him. There's no passion. There's no love. Well, tonight God is calling you back home. He wants you to come back to him. So either number one, you want to come for the first time, or number two, you want to come back. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you've done. He'll welcome you with open arms. He doesn't care. All he wants to do is clean you up and help you. So on the count of three, if you're in any of those categories, I want to pray for you. One, two, three, just put your hand up if that's you. I'll give you a few more moments. If there's anyone in here, just raise your hand. Well, amen. Good. And now number two. I felt this in my heart when I was praying about the meeting tonight. I know there are people in here who have been hurt very deeply. Who have been, you know, talked bad about, done wrong. People are mean, and I get that. People do horrible things, I understand. People gossip, people backbite. In the church, oh yeah, especially in the church. You should hear how some preachers talk about other preachers. Horrible. Horrible. But here's the reality. It doesn't matter what people have done to you. You can't hold on to that. You have to let go tonight. You have to forgive tonight. So before we pray for miracles, if you're in this place and, you know, as I'm speaking, people are coming to your mind that, man, I'm offended. I'm hurt. I'm upset. They did me wrong. I've never forgiven them. I've never let go. Tonight you have to let go. Jesus said that if you're not able to forgive those who wrong you here on earth, He is unable to forgive, you know, you when you get to heaven. You can't have any unforgiveness in your heart. You can't have any offense in your heart towards other people. You have to let that go tonight. And I promise you, as you let that go tonight, you know, the peace and the joy and the presence of God will come back into your life in such a strong way. But you have to start by letting go of any and all offense. It could be with a spouse. It could be with your kids. It could be with a coworker. It could have happened, you know, when you were, you know, a young child and you still hold on to that hurt and that pain and that anger. Tonight, God wants to do a surgery on your heart. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him to bind up broken hearts. So tonight, if you're in this place and you need to forgive someone, you're holding unforgiveness in your heart, I want to pray with you. So I'm going to ask you on the count of three, if you're in here and you know that you have to forgive, and you know you're seeing that person flash between in your head, you're seeing that situation, that's the Holy Spirit talking. So tonight, if you have to forgive, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to raise your hands, and then we'll pray. So one, two, three. I see some hands. I know there are more, though. Well, if you're in this place and you need to forgive, I want you to come forward. So if you raised your hand, and again, the Holy Spirit wants to do a surgery. So if you're in this place and you know you have to let go of something, it doesn't have to be anything big and deep. It's just anything, anything. You never want anything standing between you and the Lord. I want you to come forward. There's always the first few brave ones. I know in my spirit there are more. Just line up on that line. I'll give you a few more moments. Be as He did. Purpose in your heart. Father, in Jesus' name. When Nick starts to pray, Father, I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting something to change in my body. That situation is going to change. Father, as He begins to pray, every symptom in my body has to go. Every pain in my body has to go. Father, You are here and I'm receiving from You tonight. You have to do business with God in your own heart because He's here. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to say, yes, no, maybe so. God's already moving. God's already touching people. As I begin to pray, heaven's going to break loose in this place. Miracles are going to break loose in this place. So right now, just close your eyes, lift your hands. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Close your eyes, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For Father, I am anointed to preach good news to the poor. Father, I'm anointed to heal the sick. Father, I'm anointed to cast out devils. Father, I thank You. You sent me here tonight to do Your work, the work of the kingdom. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every pain. I take authority over every sickness. I take authority over every single disease. And in the name of Jesus, I command it to loose its grip right now over every child of God in this place. In Jesus' name, I command everybody right now under the sound of my voice, I command it to be healed in Jesus' name. I command every heart right now in the name of Jesus, receive strength. I command every lung in this place to receive life in Jesus' name. I command every back, every joint, every muscle, every tendon, every ligament right now, in the name of Jesus, to receive strength and be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command every sickness Whether it's diabetes, whether it's cancer, I command every sickness that has a name to bow its knee right now to the name of Jesus and to leave every single body right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to be made whole right now in Jesus' name. Now just wait. Just be as you are right now in His presence. God is moving all over this place. God is moving all over this place. Bodies are being healed all over this place right now. It's happening. Let Him touch you. Let Him move on you. Let him do what only He can do. You didn't come to man. You came to Him. And He is here right now wanting to heal. So thank you, Jesus. Keep just waiting on the Lord like we read in Hosea 10. We've come to have our hearts at the fallow ground broken open. And we've come to wait upon You, Jesus. Because we know that if we wait upon You, You're going to rain down righteousness. You're going to rain down healing. You're going to rain down help from heaven, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Every spine, in Jesus' name. Ma'am with the red shirt, come here. I want to pray with you. Yeah, you, come here. Come. Come here. I want to pray with you. Is that okay? Her. Yes, you. Yeah. Ma'am with the red shirt, not man with the red shirt. No, it's okay. Yeah, just lift your hands. Can I get an usher? And again, it's not about falling. I just would rather. So what's happening in your body?
Well, I have my elbow injured almost a year ago.
Okay.
I don't know. I had a test a few weeks ago. I haven't had to.
Not everyone's called to do the same thing. And here, the reality is, and you know, people have seen this in visions, where people who have built massive mega churches, and they do it with a horrible heart, they do it to be seen by man, they do it for all the, you know, the fame and all this, they get to heaven and they receive nothing. And then you have the widow that all she did was care for people, love on people, bring people meals, babysit children. And they get to heaven and they have, you know, man, like, you know, tons of treasure. And that's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, well done. And you're doing what I've called you to do. And you're doing it with a good heart and you're doing it well. So you're going to get a great reward. As equal as, you know, the man who's doing the mass crusades and building the big church. Because God rewards you not according to anyone else. He rewards you according to what He called you to do. And tonight He's saying, well done. So well done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So before I let you guys go, I want to lay hands on everybody tonight. So if you could all come, anyone who wants prayer, but really anyone and everyone, I want you guys to all line up. And I'm going to lay hands on you. And here's all I'm going to believe for. I'm going to believe that the gift of God that's on the inside of me is going to come on you. And I'm going to believe that all those gifts that God has put in your heart, all those gifts that God has placed on the inside of you are going to come back to life. I know a lot of people in here, you know, you're supposed to prophesy. I know a lot of people in here have the gift. You see things, you know things, and you haven't done anything. Excuse me, you haven't done anything with it. But tonight, God wants to ignite that gift. Yeah, come forward. I don't have to zigzag through traffic. But I'm going to believe that every single one of you is going to receive exactly what you need for this season. And again, it's not about falling. It's not about crying. It's not about shaking. I get prayed for by, you know, the who's who. You know, Benny Hinn could pray for me and I probably wouldn't fall. And that's okay. It's not about that. It's about you receiving everything Jesus has for you. So that's what I want you believing for. I want you believing that, Father, the minute Nick lays hands on me, Father, I receive everything I need for this next few months. I receive strength to run my race well. And then also I want you to believe that every gift that He's placed on the inside of you, that, you know, might have been dormant, might have been sleeping, that gift will come alive. Because the Bible talks about the laying on of hands as a way to impart spiritual gifts. And God wants to give gifts tonight. So all I need you to do is shut yourself in with God. I'll have my brother put some music on. Just get in the zone with Jesus. And when I lay my hands on you, God's going to give you something. No one's leaving empty-handed. Amen? I was in Panama. And, you know, because of my age, I get weird looks. And back in the when I was in Panama, I had hair almost to my shoulders. I don't know why. I looked ridiculous. Horrible. So I get it. But I was with a missionary, and we went to meet with these politicians. And the head of the school board wanted us to lay hands and pray and prophesy over them. So when he said, you know, these two men are going to pray for you, I'm 26 and the other guy's in his 60s. So they're like, great, this young kid's going to pray for me. This guy has nothing to give. That's how people think. And they don't know how spiritual gifts work. So, you know, the missionary I'm with, he lays hands on them, prays, prophesies, and, you know, the Holy Spirit moves. And then I come up to the guy, and again, a politician, you know, in a suit, fancy guy, right? And I could tell he was hard. His heart wasn't pulling, because you can tell when people are pulling on what you carry. So I lay my hands on him, and I begin praying, and then I start getting words, you know, words of knowledge, and revealing stuff about him that there's no way I could know except by the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, you see his heart shift, and, you know, you see the tears come. And then, you know, as I'm finishing up, I feel like, hey, man, this guy's been praying to see people healed, and he wants, you know, miracles. So I told him, you've been praying for the gift of miracles, haven't you? And he said, yes, yes, I have. I said, well, give me your hands. I grabbed his hands, and I prayed. And I said, Lord, what you've given me, I give him right now in Jesus' name. And it's that easy. It's a gift. If I received a gift free, I can give a gift free. So then we're walking out, and, you know, now he's all happy, and now he's my friend because, you know, I have power or whatever. The Holy Spirit's with me. So we're walking out, and the head of the school board brings us into a classroom, and he says, hey, this teacher has a blown-out ACL, and he's going for surgery in a few days, and he needs a miracle. And, you know, he knew that, you know, I saw people healed and all kinds of stuff, so he wanted me to pray. So I said, no, I'm not going to pray for him. And he was looking kind of frustrated, you know, because he's like, hey, I'm the big shot. I'm the school board, like, superintendent. You do what I say. You're my guest. I said, no, I'm not going to pray for him. I just laid hands on this man, and I imparted the gift of, you know, miracles to him. So he is going to pray. So he was like, man, he was kind of taken back, and he'd never even laid hands on the sick. He had no idea what to do. So I coached him. I said, all right, put your hand on that knee. Just repeat after me. He repeated after me. And I said, now just stay there and just wait and let what's in you flow into him. So, you know, he waited maybe 5-10 seconds, took his hand off. And I asked the gentleman, the teacher, hey, how do you feel? And he said, well, man, it's crazy. But when he laid hands on me, I felt like fire going into my knee. And I said, well, you're healed, so move around and see how it is. And, you know, lo and behold, he's moving, running, jogging, and he was completely healed. Now, here's a guy who had never prayed for the sick 15 minutes before. All that happened is a young evangelist laid hands on him, imparted a spiritual gift, which is real. And then, you know, wouldn't it be like God to have an opportunity for him to actually lay hands on the sick a few moments later? Because a lot of people, you know, you've been laid hands on.